Yes, vegetarian.
Yeah.
How do
Hello.
Let's close our eyes and be before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, sweet loving Father, once again. In this place, at the anointed time, waiting to hear for you, Lord, from you, Lord. Thank you for the day so far, Lord, that you have blessed us. And thank you for making it possible for us, Lord, to gather in this place at this time, Lord. We take your most precious blood, sweet Jesus, the most powerful element on earth, Lord, and we sprinkle it upon this place, Lord. Every chair, every person, every nook and corner of this place, Lord. And we pray, O Lord God, drive out all the demons of this place, Lord, so that we may be able to hear your word uninterruptedly, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, this is your class. You are the one who will teach us, Lord. Help us to open our minds, our hearts, our ears, to listen to you, Lord. Prepare our hearts as fertile soil, O God, so that your word will grow, O Lord, 100-fold in each one of us, Lord. And only you, Lord, can make this possible. And we look in anticipation on you, Lord, God, to make this thing possible in our lives, Lord, so that our lives will never, ever be same again. Mother Mary, continue to be with us. Bless us, guide us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue. Now and always, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. Today we begin a new letter to a new church. Any guesses? How many churches have you finished so far? Two? Ephesus, just one. And today we move on to the next one, which is Smyrna. Smyrna. I had some good pictures of Ephesus, but I couldn't find any good ones for Smyrna, so I left it out. But Smyrna is said to be the best city at that time, the best city in Asia at that time. It's located about 40 miles north of Ephesus. The beauty of it is that it has two harbors. It starts with a harbor, actually, a big harbor and a small harbor. And they are safe harbors. In fact, during wars, what happens is that the small harbor is so small that in case there's war, they can close the entrance with a chain. It's as that. So that means only a ship can go in through, I think. And a big one is, of course, big. But the whole Smyrna begins with a harbor. It passes through lowlands and fields, and then it ends on Mount Hormuz or something like that. Right, so it is like from here to there, okay, and it looks like if you look at it from the top, it looks like a person with a head there, body and feet in the sea. The sea is to the side, okay, a nice thing. At the head, you have all these big monuments, the buildings and all that stuff comes at the head of Smyrna, and it is a well developed city. Right from that time, it was very well developed. the architects adapted architecture at that time. The municipality at that time was very, very good. So they had really planned it well. That city was very well planned, and it was discovered in the year 1000 BC by somebody. He's a Greek, I think. Yeah, and then in the year 600, there was an attack on Smyrna from one of these kings who destroyed Smyrna completely. And then for 400 years, Smyrna didn't have any of these big pomp things. There were only villages that were left. And it was quite pathetic for people who knew Smyrna. After some time, a ruler came and he was told about what happened to Smyrna. And he was so much touched that he granted that the entire city be rebuilt, and he exempted any taxes from Smyrna for the next 100 years, so that it could be well built. And again, it is such a blessed place that it was rebuilt in the same fashion, in fact better than that, very well planned and very well designed. And the pomp and prestige of Smyrna regained after this king allowed it to happen. There was one of the best places in that place is called Gold Street. Where do you have another Gold Street now recently?
Yeah,
Gold Street. In Dubai we have it, no? Gold Street. So there was a place there which was called Gold Street, and it began with one temple and it ended with another temple. It was called a Street of Gold, with the temples of Zeus, which from the start, and the temple of Cybele at the end. So as it is, it was like a man's, like a dissing head, with the head of buildings and that stuff. And to make matters even better, this Gold Street was across that place, so it was looking like a chain around the neck. Yeah. So that was the scenario of Smyrna from the top. So now John's title to Jesus is he. Okay, we did not read that yet. No. Okay, we'll read that. Okay, let's read that now, because it has to come to that now. Anybody read the message of Smyrna?
I'll read.
Yeah.
To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death.
The word of the Lord. So John addresses this church as, these are the words of the first and the last, and who was dead and who came to life. The people of Smyrna were so proud of their cities. Yeah, they were so proud of the cities that because it was the best city in Asia Minor at that time, and they were such an enthusiastic crowd that each of them did something good to make that place even better. They had a zeal among themselves, you know, and they were proud of that zeal, that they are the best, they are the best, they are the best. And they tried to do everything so good that their beautiful city would be even better worldwide, renowned. And that is why it clashes, or it is in comparison to Smyrna, when Jesus says, I am the first and the last. Is that right? I am the first and the last. Yeah. So, first and the last. Now, these people, the Smyrnans, wanted to be first, always. But in one way, Jesus is telling them that more than you being first, I am the first. Yeah, it relates to that. Now, secondly, another good quality of the Smyrnans were, when Rome was not in power, okay, they were very weak at that time. But Smyrna offered their, their friendship, their loyalty to the Romans. Yeah, I don't know for what reason, but they offered their loyalty to Rome. That time Rome was nothing. And then there came a time when Rome was in war with something, and they were very bitterly defeated, Rome. That's the time the Smyrnans, we didn't have much of them, so they even removed their own clothes and sent it to the Romans. Yeah, at that time, you know. And Rome was very touched with that. Eventually, you know, Rome came into power. And Rome did not forget what the Smyrnans did for them. So they helped Smyrna because of this disloyalty. They were also equally loyal to Smyrna, and they were given the best of places, of status. There was a time when a new temple was supposed to be built, and there were a few bidders for that temple, including Ephesus. But the temple was given to Smyrna to be built because of their loyalty and because of their things. You know? So that is another quality of Smyrna. Then, so their faithfulness is what is there. And then, now, Smyrna, I'll just go through fast, quickly. They were the first to build a temple to the goddess Roma. Yeah, the Roman goddess. Smyrna was the first to build a temple to goddess Roma. In AD 195 BC, in that time. Now, Smyrna was great in trade, beauty, political and religious eminence. It was also a city where culture flourished. Beautiful culture they had. Okay, they had a big stadium, and like these Olympic games and all the famous games at that time were held there in the theater. They had a theater which was the largest in Asia Minor. So, all in all, and they had a. It was supposed to be a birthplace of a historian, Homer. That's not that's debatable actually, but they say it was a birthplace of their historian Homer. Now there were so many temples there. The temples were dedicated to Cybele, Zeus, Apollo, Nemesis, Aphrodite, and Alcipios. These are the temples dedicated to these people. These were gods in Smyrna. Okay. Then, the Jews were people who were against, the worst enemies of the Christians were the Jews. Yeah. Now, the pagans liked the Jews because they found a few differences. Now, for example, the Jews believed in one God, and the pagans believed in many gods. So when they saw that the Jews believed in one God, they were listening to one God, they felt that attraction towards the Jews. So they didn't want to be Jews. They wanted to remain, they would not become what is called a proselytes, you know. They wanted to be half and half. So take a bit of everything. And especially the pagan ladies, they liked the Jews because of their simplicity in the religion. They had not much of a worship that these people had. So they liked to come to these meetings. They liked to be with the Jews. And so, and these ladies were wives of aristocrats and what is that called? High dignitaries. Okay, so they had pomp and power. So what these Jews used to do, they used to you know, influence these ladies against the Christians, and these ladies to tell their husbands, and then and so on and so forth. And the Christians were the target, innocent target, because of the Jews instigating the wives and the pagans, right? The reason why they were against the Christians is because the Christians, conversions were taking place from the Jews. So Jews were against them because they were losing their people to Christianity. So they wanted somehow or the other to stop this practice, and so they were using these ladies and the pagans to destroy Christianity. Okay. Now, one of the greatest martyr came from Smyrna. Any guesses? One of the greatest martyrs came from Smyrna, and to our as a blessing, we are celebrating his feast today. Paul, he's our bishop. No, this guy also was a bishop, huh?
Yeah, Polycarp.
Bishop Polycarp. He was a bishop of Smyrna. He was killed in 155 AD, Saturday, 23rd February. Today is 23rd February, Friday.
Yes.
But it was Saturday, 23rd February, year 1155. So that means it is 1863 years today.
And we are studying.
We are studying. Like, you know, I was looking at it, you know, how blessed to have it on his day of
birth. Yes.
He must be watching us from there. Now, he was the bishop of Smyrna. During those times, you know, what used to happen to the Christians were, they were Christians, and they were living in peace for some time. Suddenly, some government people or officials used to get the vibes, you know, to think something against them, and then start attacking them. So they were always living in peace and disharmony, peace and disharmony. But they didn't know when their disharmony would take place, when the peace was there. No, they were all on tantrums. It so happened that there was something happening in the stadium. There was a game in the stadium, and the governor, suddenly what happened to him, he said, "Let's kill the Christians." In the games are going on, something, "Let's kill the Christians. Search for Polycarp, the bishop." Then Polycarp had a chance to escape. Bishop Polycarp had a chance to escape. But the night before, Bishop Polycarp gets a dream from the Lord with his pillow is burning. His pillow is burning. He tells his disciples, his apostles there, his followers, that I'm going to be burnt. That's what the Lord showed me, because his pillow is burning. Now, in the midst of the game, this is what was to happen. In the midst of the game, the government suddenly announced something, and everybody now were going to find out where Polycarp is to start a war against the Christians, to disturb them. And then one slave was there who gave out the place where Polycarp was hiding, not hiding, but was where. And he was told, "If you don't tell us where Polycarp is, we'll kill you." So in fright, this poor guy said, "Where is?" So they came to Polycarp, and then he said, "Come out and this and that, blah blah blah." Okay. Then Polycarp said, "Told them, okay, you sit down here." He told his servants, "Give them food, give them whatever they want. Give me 1 hour to pray." No, he was a nice man. You know, he was a nice man. But this is what happens. So he went to pray, and these others also, were given food and all that stuff. Even the main police officer was very reluctant to catch hold of Bishop, because he was good. Then pleaded of him. He said, "See, you can save your life. All you have to do is deny Christ and worship Caesar." Polycarp said, "86 years I'm serving this God. He has been so good to me 86 years. And do you think I can just give him out like that?" I said, "No way." He's saying, "You'll be burnt." He said, What is this fire? Huh? This fire is only for a short time. It'll burn my body and finish. But what about eternal fire, which is reserved for those who are bad? That fire is not non-quenchable. So I would prefer this fire than that fire." So any amount of this thing was not could not persuade them to stop him. So they take him to the arena. They take him now to they string him and take him to the arena to be burnt. The moment they said, like, once again they give him another chance, and he said, "No, try, come on, start burning me now." So immediately people rush to the logs, wherever you get logs, including the Jews. Now Jews are not supposed to be carrying logs on a Saturday, on a Sabbath. They're not supposed to be carrying, but they did. They broke all the logs and they brought the logs to burn this guy. Okay. Now then after that they were trying to tie him up to these logs and burn him. He said, "Don't take all the trouble." He said, "I am coming here. No, I've told you I'm dissing here. Don't take all the trouble. The God who will help me sustain the fire will not allow me to run away. I will dissing." Then they loosely just bound him and they put a fire on his, burnt him. But you know, God is always playing the good. He shows his testimonies. The fire would not touch him. In fact, it became more like a tent around him. This guy, the executioner, could not take it. As when he saw that this thing happening, he took a knife and he stabbed him to death. Yeah. So the true story finishes still here. But as a legend after that, because once he was dead at the fire, obviously, once he poked him, a dove and blood came out. A dove and blood came out of his body, you know. And even till that time, the friars would not touch him. That is, of course, the story which is a legend. But till that, it is. So Polycarp is the bishop of Smyrna, and he was martyred in that place. Okay? And today is a beautiful day that we are celebrating. How many of us, if we had a chance today to be Polycarps, would raise our hands up? You need that God's real grace, I would not raise my hand up today. Yeah, but you know, that is the thing. So you look at their faith at that time, persecution. Today, we see, you know, what's the message, and all, so many churches are burned there. I think to myself, so what? The Bible tells you that it's going to happen. So what? They are so lucky because they are martyrs. Martyrs is always, you know, there is no judgment for martyrs. Straight to heaven. If you die for Jesus, you are straight to heaven. No, nothing at all. You are martyred. What better offering can you do? Yeah. So look at it. And he's 86 years old. I mean, so you just imagine that stamina. Normally, when you get older, you lose your strength. No, you feel fearful very fast. But you look at that. Look at the faith. So much of faith was in those types of times of Christians that is amazing. Now in this letter, do you see any accusation of for Ephesians? What did God say? What did Jesus say? "You have done so many things. But I have this thing against you," right? Yeah. He says that. But anything can you see in Smyrna?
No. He just encourages.
He's only encouraging him, right?
Yeah.
Now, he says, "I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich." Now we are coming back to Greek words, which is very, very important. Now the church of Smyrna, the Christians of Smyrna were in trouble, as I told you, because they didn't know when they would be attacked. Now, affliction in the Greek word is thlipsis. I think we got it somewhere before. Thlipsis. And this affliction is not just a small pain or something like that. It's like a boulder. It's like a big, this thing falling on you. So the pain, the affliction, not just a minor one. It's really great. And to be in that affliction, comparatively, I would honestly say that we are, we are in paradise at the moment compared to those Christians. What is happening to us? Nothing. Yeah? But those Christians, they really had to, and they were, remember that they were pagans. They were used to do that loose type of life. They used to committing all sins, and they were the converts, Christian converts. So look at their faith. Look at that faith. They would have said, chalo yaar, you know, I mean, what is it? We'll guys, let's go back to our own thing rather than meet Jesus and this thing. Even, you know, you remember when we were doing Peter, we had this Nero, how he used to use them to have to light torches for their banquets, you know. So look at their guts. Look at their guts and look at the strength of the pagans, what do you call, converted to Christians, giving up their lives. Here we Christians are not willing to give our lives back. Yeah, but you see that faith. So, thlipsis is in Greek is affliction, and it is a great affliction. It's not just a small thing. It's like a big boulder coming to you. And then it says, affliction, poverty. Now, in there are two words for poverty in Greek. One is called, I'll tell you the spelling of it. P-T-O-C-H-E-I-A. P-T-O-C-H-E-I-A, for those who are making notes. It's called tokia, I would call it, with a P silent. And that's poverty. Okay. And now this word, tokia, this poverty, is closely related to Christianity in many scriptures. For example, Jesus says in Luke 6:20, blessed are you poor. The same word, tokia, is used there. Blessed are you poor. Paul describes the Christians at Corinth as being poor, yet making many rich. Same word used, 2 Corinthians 6:10. Okay? Paul uses the same word. In James 2:5, James speaks of God choosing the poor in this world to be rich in faith. There also, the same word, tokia, is used. Okay? Now, in Greek, there are two words for poverty. One is pinia and one is tokia. Okay. Pinia is P-E-N-I-A. Now, pinia is a state of a person who has nothing but just limited resources to live on a day-to-day basis. He has got nothing much but to live on a day-to-day basis. Poverty is called pinia. And tokia, which you have listened to before, is a poverty, which is a person who has got nothing, absolutely nothing at all. So this poverty, which God, Jesus talks, is about this poverty of a person who has got absolutely nothing. They have got nothing, not even bare means to scream. Which pinia, the word pinia means a person who is poor, but he can sustain himself, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So you see, this type of poverty is what Jesus looks into them and appreciates them for that type of poverty. They were so poor. And even though you are rich, and you know, he calls that, you know, completely a person who is completely downtrodden, he calls him rich. So you see, now why is this poverty? Why was poverty so common among the Christians at that time? Because there was a vast gulf between poor and the rich. Vast gulf, like even today, some of us, like, you know, some even in our country, we find that very poor and very rich. You know, so similar things happened there. They had so much of a contrast, and it was difficult. And secondly, most of the Christians, you know, they whatever they had, their goods were getting spoiled because things were not coming there at the right time. There was one thing which I forgot to tell you in Smyrna, there was a westward wind, which was always there. That wind is a continuous wind, and it's a beautiful wind, you know. It's a nice wind which actually enhances the place. But sometimes what happens is, this wind used to not allow, or used to create such a problem that ships could not come in time into the harbor. And ships carrying poor people's food, you know, ships carrying poor people's food were the last to come. So once your consignment of food, which was supposed to come on supposed today, were delayed by 1 month, so these people who are living on hand to mouth could not have food. You know, so that is why how Christians there were in poverty, yeah, because of I would not say natural calamities, but those people must be bringing the food of the rich, you know, inside first, and then so your food is delayed. So this is the two things. These are the two reasons for poverty. So he said affliction, poverty, and of those who say that it is. And he said, some of you, beware of the devil is about to throw you, some of you, into the prison. Now the third problem of the Christians were the imprisonment. Yeah, for little reason, for some reason or the other, they were immediately put into prison. And God, Jesus says here, the devil will put you into prison for 10 days. Now 10 days is not literal 10 days. It means it's a short time. It's a short time. But what Jesus says, you have to endure. You have to go into prison. You have to endure all this poverty. You have to, because in spite of this poverty, you are still rich. And he tells you the reason why. Because after that, you will have the crown of glory. Okay. So, two things are to be noted here. First of all, the persecution came because of the government's fits, right? And anyhow, anytime they were just against it. And secondly, the persecution came with imprisonment. Now people will say, like, okay, at least imprisonment is better than death, yeah, because at least you are imprisoned. But in that times, imprisonment was the beginning of death, a prelude to death. So the person who was imprisoned was definitely going to die. So first they was not even kill you properly. They used to kill you first in prison, make you, you know, trouble you, then destroy you, and then eventually it is death. So Christians had to go through torture. such a great torture. Okay, what was the reason actually that Christians were so much hated, persecuted, and things like that? There were slanders. You know, slander is a thing which is not true, but it was a tag to the Christians. Six tags were put to the Christians. First of all, in the words of Jesus, you know, he says, "This is my body, and this is my blood." What these guys said that Christians were, who eats body and blood?
Cannibals.
They put a tag for Christians as cannibals because Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And so we are still having the body and blood of Jesus. So that tag for Christians was, you are a cannibal. So you are, and these were the main things instigated by the Jews. Second tag was, they had whenever the Christians gathered, they had a common meal called agape. We still call it an agape love feast. It is. And what these people did, they put a tag saying that it was they were having orgies of lust, you know. They were having orgies of lust because the agape food. They didn't know that it was a mutual, beautiful understanding, a fellowship. You know, so when you don't know what is happening, you look from it from outside. You want to spread tales, and then you put in these tags. Yeah, don't we do it for us as even now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's very similar. We may not call it agape, or we may not call it something, but we have so used to. This thing of putting tags for people when we don't even know what that. For example, the tag of a prostitute for a prostitute, right? She's definitely prostituting, and we put a tag that lady is loose lady. She's a prostitute, and this thing. But do we understand what made her a prostitute? What was the first reason that she became a prostitute? Maybe, like, you know, for all you know, and definitely 99%, she didn't want to be one, but she was forced to be one. There were circumstances that made her one. A thief. Even these young boys who are robbing in Mumbai, you'll find them at a platform. They have to go through all these things because they have got no other means. People are just throwing them away. Nobody is willing to adopt them. What will they do to earn their living, to fill their stomach? They have to go in for all these things. And we put them aside. Thieves, a robber. You know, so much happening today, which may not be exactly that, but it is the same tags. What is the third tag that they put for them? Now, Christianity, Jesus also said, no, I'm not come to bring peace, but I'm come to separate, to bring, to put divisions between husband and wife, mothers and sons, and all that. You know, he says that. And Christianity, yes, did bring divisions even at that time, because suppose in a family one loved Christianity because he or she, witnessed the love of Jesus and changed her religion or his religion, went to Christianity. The others would not do it. And so there was division. So the third tag which they put for Christianity, that they were tampering with families. They were destroying families. That was the third tag, which is true, but not for the reason that they think about. Now, suppose, okay, that they could have also joined Christianity, you know, come closer to the Lord, seen what it is, and they would also embrace. But no, they don't want to do that. And the person who has embraced Christianity, they would not listen to that person, and they would say, and the hearsay would be, Christians are tampering with family relationships. Then the fourth tag was, Christians are atheist. That's a very this thing, and the reason for that, for calling Christians as atheist, is completely opposite. Christians believe in Christ, but they were calling Christians as atheist because the Christians didn't have any, you know, statues or something of God, because then they have a statue of every god, no, sun, moon, no, every god they have statues, and we don't have. I mean, not at least Catholic Church is different, but in the first starting Christians, where will they have? Nothing, no? Jesus has just gone up and all. We didn't have care. So they were just worshipping a true God without any this thing. And that's why they were saying that you are atheists. They don't know. They're not believing in God. Because for them, they have got so many gods.
But
so
Jews also do not have statues, right?
I don't know about Jews.
Yeah, Jews, they
don't. But when the Ark of the Covenant was going, there were cherubims put, not real cherubims. The ark was made with cherubims, and so not real angels, but they were statues, pictures of angels were there on the cherubim.
But that they did not honor.
We are not talking about honoring here. Yeah. We are not talking about honoring, but we are talking even about
now. Courts, inner courts, and it was where only the priest could enter there.
No, I'm talking about when, you know, the procession, they used to have the ark go. Mm-hmm. On that ark, there was, mm-hmm, God has said, mm-hmm, you put the cherubims on the sides, mm-hmm, all that was there. Now, for example, now even if today, Catholics and Protestants, now you go to the Protestant church, you'll find only one cross.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Only cross.
Yeah, just a cross, not even a crucifix, just a cross. Yeah, yeah? Even their mass is, that all it is, very bare. Right. But we are, funny enough, today I was for the confirmation, mass. And the Roman Catholic Church is really a very, very interesting church to be in, right? we are not worshipping idols, we are not worshipping anything like that. But to even remember a saint, now look at Polycarp, we got his news today. Now what a great saint he must be. What is there to just remember him, and if today was not we would have been celebrating that feast probably, yeah? So now today, the ceremony of the bishop going up, giving the administering the sacrament of confirmation. It's so nice. It's so beautiful. It's so lively. That's the beauty you'll get only in the Catholic Church, right? We are not worshipping saints. We are not worshipping this thing. This is not it's not a symbolism. It's a symbol, yes, but it is a sacrament. It is a sacrament. We believe today our 103 children are fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are ready to go for war.
Amen.
They are ready to go for war. That's what it means. It's not just a... One more thing I noticed. Nowadays the bishop is only just patting them. We had used to get a tuck slap. Today I saw, I was looking at him. Maybe his age, I don't know. But a younger bishop may be giving a slap. You should wake up the Holy Spirit in you. No? You must wake them up. Like, no, this is the power. Yeah, I was noticing that. I said, I had a better, bigger slap. This guy is just touching a little. Yeah, but see the meaning, the meaning of arousing the spirit within you. Today, and I like that the ending prayer which the child said. Today we are equipped. We are ready to go out for the spirit to do the work of the spirit. That's what it is. How many of us understand that meaning of the sacrament? Now,
we give
everything, because, and yes, some of us even at this age we don't know what the power of the spirit is, right? And the main emphasis on this these last days is the Holy Spirit. Okay, never miss a chance to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. You you've been communion with the Holy Spirit, and this is the last days. This is the only time. This is a day. This is an era of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, "I'm going to heaven, so that I can send the Holy Spirit." If that was not necessary, it would not happen. Now, even Jesus, when he was on earth, although he left his divinity, so he was here as a pure human being, right? He needed the Holy Spirit at all times. First of all, Mother Mary became pregnant with the Holy Spirit's power. Secondly, at the time of baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, right? And God the Father's words were heard. Yeah, this is my beloved son. When the Holy Spirit took him to the 40 days of for the fasting in the desert, Holy Spirit took him there. Because of the Holy Spirit power, he could say no to the devil after 40 days of fasting. Yeah, the Holy Spirit was there. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself says in scripture, everything was done with the Holy Spirit. He was put to death. Who raised him up? The same Spirit who raised Jesus up is living in us now.
Amen.
This is what Paul says. The same Spirit who raised Jesus up is living in us now. Can we understand the depth of this statement? Have we realizing what power we have? You know, we are all thirsty. Last week we had this thing, and we are still thirsty for the Lord. But if you only understand this part, that the one who raised Jesus is living in us.
Amen.
You know, so what should be our this thing? Like, you know, now Bishop Ani is here. You know, so what respect he gets? What everybody is a bishop, and we have got the Lord of Lords living in us. What should be our reaction? You know, yours and mine. My inclusive. We should have been, you know, walking on fire by now with his power. That much power he has given us. He can, but we don't want. We are comfortable in where we live, and then we are saying, what's in everything, nothing is happening to us. But why I'm bringing this topic, look at the faith of those days Christians and today's Christians. Look at their faith.
Christians today are sleeping and covers.
Correct. In fact, thank you for reminding me. I meant to say that.
Yeah.
He started a sermon today, Bishop, saying the Christians of today are sleeping and cowards. That was the message.
He repeated again.
Yes, even in the hall he repeated it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wake up and be strong. So exactly correct. And it seems the Pope Francis said this.
Yes.
Sleeping and coward. Perfect example or perfect title for Christian tags. We are talking about tags, no?
And
this is our tags for today.
Christians of today,
yes, that's what he said. Christians of today, he said it. And how true. How true. I wanted to bring this topic, but I forgot about it. But we were still talking on the power of the Holy Spirit. Sleepy. But the Holy Spirit is there, we are sleeping. And coward. So if you are sleeping, the Holy Spirit is not being invoked. What? Just imagine how many of us fast is up to you, but 40 days of no eating. 40 days of no eating. And then suddenly the devil shows him like a stone, make bread. I would have said, okay, you know, give me that bread first, and after that we'll see. Become so hungry. Yeah, but what did Jesus say? Did he go for that? Why? Why did he not go for it? Because the power of the Holy Spirit. He was continuously in communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit was available with Jesus, God. And Jesus took advantage of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he could move through that entire thing. Today also the Holy Spirit is available with us. Not only available, but the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. How much more should we be on fire? How much more we are saying ISIS are killing people, these people are killing these people, and the main power is with us and we are not using it. So why will ISIS not kill? And even those people whom the ISIS kill, you know, they are so strong people. Why? Who power empowers them? They are the perfect example of the Holy Spirit empowering them. Because the ISIS also gives you the same, what is that called? A condition. Reject Jesus and be ours. And we are not going to kill you. Same principle. But what they are doing. So they are the people who have given themselves to the Holy Spirit and stand by them. Today, if the ISIS comes here with a gun, how many of us will be here? And how many of us will run away? There was a story on that, no?
Yeah.
And I'm not certain of myself. No, but you know, see, if you escape, take an example, there's a thing like that. If you escape, right? Somebody said, the gunman comes and said, like, you know, those who are for Jesus, who are not for the, willing to sacrifice Jesus, get out, you know? And they give you a lease of life. And so some of us, we all run out, okay? And we are saved. Can we live our life after that? Will we be able to live our lives after that? It was better to die than to go there, reject Jesus and say no, and then you are for eternity alive, but dead. You're a corpse, you're a walking corpse. It's true. It's true. Even when you are you know, even when you are, what do you call that, stubborn in sin. Stubborn in sin. There are times when a person gets very stubborn in sin, you know. And when being stubborn in sin means you are not in contact, in communion with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit one day awakens you up in some way or the other, then you know what are you. You are not, it's not, that's the time when people go in for what? Suicide. Going for suicide. That's the time. Because they think they have gone so far that there's no resurrection for them. There's no option for them. But our Holy Spirit, that's why, now that we understand the Holy Spirit more better, more to say, we can have the you know, the best of, the strongest of life. Nothing can make us afraid when we are in communion with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continuous communion. It's not that, you know, there's a problem and then, come Holy Spirit, come, we need you. And then after the Holy Spirit comes, He helps us solve the problem. He said, okay, now you sit till the next problem comes. That's what we do. We are not literally saying, but this is what our attitude to the Holy Spirit is there. We are, He is at our beck and call, not the other way around. But if you want to see the fullness of life, as Jesus Himself said, I have come to give you life and life in its fullness. He is always being in communion with the Holy Spirit wherever. Jesus took the Holy Spirit wherever He went. In fact, the Holy Spirit was taking Him. Yeah? The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. It's clearly said, Holy Spirit led Jesus to wilderness. When Holy Spirit takes us a little bit in an inconvenient place, we said, like, no, Lord, is it really we have to go there now? This is our enjoying days, right? So we give a wrong answer. And then the Holy Spirit, okay, fine, do it your way. And then we say, why things are not happening with us? So you have to be very, very careful. And I'm telling you, me inclusive, what was this message which comes from the Spirit is for me, starting with me. So don't say that, don't think that I'm on the opposite side, no. I'm also one thing, and it starts with me. The Holy Spirit is telling, this is the time, an opportunity that no church, no single generations have got, that the Spirit, in the last days, my Spirit will be so active, Jesus Himself said. Yeah? Young people will prophesy, old people will do this and that. And we are not taking advantage of it. Okay? And why are we not taking advantage of it? You know, what is the reason for we not taking advantage of the Holy Spirit? How much time you spend in this? That is the first proof. If you have the Holy Spirit operating in you and me, this is the first thing we'll be going 24/7. Any little thing, like, no, we'll throw this out, we'll go with this. You know, 24/7 we'll be on this. That is the first sign. Then what does the Holy Spirit tell you? He'll just tell you, give you scriptures. Now, the other day, which was it? No, that always the open line to God, Jeremiah 33:3. Call out to me and I will answer you. And I will reveal to you hidden things. So, like many of us, we have got some of us have got a habit of saying, brother, sister, you know, you are so much in prayer, you are so much. What message has God got for me? What message has God got for me? Sometimes I feel like saying, God gives you a message that, you know, go to hell or change your direction. You know, you feel that much to that, because what is this? You want to be, now if they had known that this passage, they would say, yes, what is God telling you? Call out to me and I will be with you and I will reveal to you hidden things. Why are you asking hidden things to other people? You don't know the word of God, right or wrong? So everything God will reveal to you, everything God will reveal to you when you are soaked in this. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. We can read the Bible without understanding it. That's when you don't have the Holy Spirit. So the first thing, when you read the Bible, call out to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my ears. Always make a prayer to the Holy Spirit before you read the Bible, and then you will see that same scripture which was not coming to your mind, or which you were hesitating or didn't understand, will come alive to you. Will come alive to you without any complications. Now sometimes when you have a problem and then you run to the scripture, that's different. But I'm talking about a day-to-day life. So when a problem comes to you on a day-to-day life also, because you are equipped. You are equipped, that problem will not shake you. But if you are not equipped, then the problem will shake you. Okay, the last few times. The Christians were accused of political disloyalty because they would not take Caesar as their lord. They were saying they are political disloyal because we are not confessing Caesar as their lord. And the final one they say is, the Christians are being accused of incendiaries, which is they God has foretold, no, that the world, the next time the world will be finished in flames, in fire. So they're accusing the Christians of this falsehood. It's called incendiaries. Yeah. So these are the things that the Christians in Smyrna, what is called, suffered. The reason for their suffering. And now next time we will see what Jesus tells them. Okay, what Jesus tells them and what advice he gives and what he's telling them to say. Even here it says, no. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Spirit is the main seven churches, seven spirits. It is not seven spirits, but seven powers of the Spirit in every church. And we are a church, you know. So definitely, our church has the Holy Spirit with us, and we are church as a community, and we are church as individuals as well. The temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are our church. So today we can go home with one message. And one desperate message is, let us seek more of this Holy Spirit who is in us. Amen. Like last week we were saying, we don't call out for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but we call out for the invoking. Even today they said, like, you know, the bishop said something nice, you know, invoke the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit's power come unto you and unto your life. Though we have got the Holy Spirit, remember that one thing, we have got the Holy Spirit. If you don't tap on the Holy Spirit, it is nobody's fault but ours. So today onwards, when it will not start like a big flood coming out. The tap has to be opened slowly. Okay, so it's little by little, you'll find the power of the Holy Spirit, and there will come a time very fast, because now the Holy Spirit is also in a fast motion. He will come you will not be able to contain. The power of the Holy Spirit is so much, and you know, just like the Samaritan woman, a full of sin. The moment Jesus opened the tap for her, she ran up calling the people. That's what. You know, it will be evident unto us that the Holy Spirit is really working powerfully when all of us will be seen running around, you know, bringing more people. That's what God wants, and that's the revival. The revival is called that. Running to people, you know, have you met the Holy Spirit? Have you seen the Holy Spirit? Come, I'll show it to you. I'll give it to you. That's what. Okay, and on this note, we will close for this evening. And are you going for the...
Yes.
And homework is... by Pentecost this time, this year, Ellinger is also on fire for that. She is struggling at that. So by Pentecost this year, we want the Gala Parish to be revived.
Amen.
Completely revived, okay?
Amen.
Completely. So then we all rush to Rui, we start reviving them. That will be the proof of it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your message today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how our brethren in the past, Lord, were so much stronger than us, Lord, in their faith, Lord. They never hesitated, Lord God, to give up their lives for you, my sweet Jesus. But today, Lord, we are uncertain whether we will come with you or we will sell you, Lord. We are uncertain of our decision, Lord. Lord, today we make a pledge to you, Lord, that we want more and more of your Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit with us, Lord God, we will not hesitate, O Lord, to give our lives, Lord God. Today the message, the same message from the Pope is, we are sleepy and we are cowards. Lord, by next year, may the Pope be able to change those into positive two words, Lord, that we are alive, that we are awake and we are powerful. And Lord, give us this grace to do this, Lord. We have the power in us, Lord. We have the power, but we do not want to tap into this power, Lord God. Sweet loving Jesus, you went up to heaven to send the Holy Spirit. You have sent your Holy Spirit. You have done your job, Lord God. Now help us to do our job, Lord, to tap into the Holy Spirit continuously 24/7, so that our lives, like the Samaritan woman, will be so much courageous, so much joyful, that we will be, all we will need, we would love to do after that is to spread the news to the world. And that is what your message to us was before you went, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our team that is going to the hospital, Lord God. Visit. Once again, Lord, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they speak to the patients, Lord, and the patients are being healed, Lord God.
Amen.
Lord, continue to use the Spirit mightily, Lord, upon them. And we pray, Lord God, that mighty revival take place, Lord, in all the world, Lord God. In our parish, in our prayer group, in our vicinity, in our vicariate, Lord God. Let there be revival taking place in our families, Lord, and especially among our youth, Lord, the pillars of tomorrow, Lord God. Lord, and as the rest of us go home to spend a day, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, pour out your... invoke this Holy Spirit, Lord, more and more upon each one of us, Lord, so that, Lord, our hearts will be at unrest until we sit with the Holy Spirit and we change our lives, Lord God, and experience the beautiful, the sweetness of the of living in the Spirit. Mother Mary, continue to be with us, Mother Mary. Give us the grace, how God gave you the grace to be attentive, to hear the word, to understand and to do whatever God wants us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The only way, the truth and the light. And we, God's children, agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a good day. Next week is the first, no? First week, no?
First Friday.
So we'll not have it next week because it's first Friday. We'll have it the following week.
Right? Oh, 28 days.
Yeah. How is the this one?